You know, we always look forward to seeing TI's numbers, not only because they're a local company, but they tend to be a bellwether, not just for business around here, but around the world. The whole marketplace looks at Texas Instruments to try to see what demand is for chips. The earnings were much better than expected, so that was good news. And all the stocks went up, including TI. Then some comments came from CFO Rafael Lazzardi that were reported on the wires anyway, suggesting that maybe the cyclical downturn hasn't hit bottom yet. Then it sold off. Then it went back up again. The man who has the ability to move markets is Rafael Lazzardi, CFO of TI, joined us right now. It's good to have you with us.
Thank you.
I mean, this is you're sort of like a Warren Buffett for this industry. You do have the ability to move markets.
Well, we didn't intend it that way, but the weakness that began last year has continued, and it's about as expected. We did a beat on revenue, but that was mainly on the communications equipment market. A lot of what you hear about 5G. And that market tends to be choppy, and frankly, it's a relatively small part of our revenue. It's only about 11%. As you know from our conversations, what we focus on is on the industrial and automotive space, where we think there's a sustainable growth potential for a long, long time to come.
So, is the slowdown because their inventories are too high? They just got too much sitting on the shelf, and you're not getting new orders, or is it because of a cyclical slowdown, especially in automotive?
Yeah, so the way we characterize that is that it's primarily due to the semiconductor cycle. Now, what does that mean? That we are at the very end of the supply chain because we sell to customers that then sell to customers that then sell to customers that then sell to the end customer. So even if the end customer demand, say the macroeconomy, is steady, there'll always be inventory building and depleting throughout the supply chain. It's kind of like being in the stock at US 75 and the cars slowing down and coming to a complete stop and then accelerating. And even though there's really not an accident in the highway, right? It's just inventory building and depleting. So that's normal in the semiconductor cycle, and usually it takes about a year for that inventory to flush through the system before you renew a growth. So at the moment, that's what we're seeing. Now, could there be macroeconomic issues happening downstream? There could be. I mean, clearly there's some trade tensions continue to be an issue between the two largest economies in the world. There are concerns in Europe with Brexit. But at the moment, what we're attributing the slowdown is primarily to the semiconductor cycle, which again is the building and draining of inventory in the supply chain.
But I look at two areas, and let's go to automotive for a minute. I mean, even if there is a slowdown in sales, and there has been a slowdown in sales, my sense is these cars that are being sold ought to have more chips in them than ever before, because all anybody's talking about is autonomous or advanced cruise control or all sorts of sort of gee whiz systems that's got to rely on your chips.
So absolutely. So I think you're absolutely right. So let me take it a higher level for every reason. Our excitement of investing in automotive and in industrial is as high as it's ever been because of what you just talked about, right? Both of those end markets continue to add content. In the case of cars, we all can see that because we drive these cars and we know all the bells and whistles that are going on the cars, from more autonomy, electric vehicles becoming a bigger portion of the market, and that has a lot of semiconductor content. And then on the industrial space, we don't see that because we don't live in factories, but factories are being automated, buildings are being automated, medical service, electric grid, all of that. Now, even with that content story happening over the long term, you can still have a quarter or two or four where revenue decreases because of this draining of inventory phenomena that we talked about earlier.
You know, and of course, the next big thing that everybody's talking about is 5G. I mean, on one level, people say, well, you know, you can download a movie in 3 seconds or something. But that's really not what I see 5G about. It's the ability for these same cars to talk to each other and consequently, you know, update maps instantly, and for cities to get a sense of when street lights are out. I mean, 5G is a big changer. Is it always just going to be, 10% of your business?
So we are excited about 5G as well, but we're maybe a little bit more cautious than most. And the reason for that is the content story there tends to be very choppy. So it increases for a few quarters, then it decreases, then it increases, because it's a fairly concentrated market. It's only few players, at least, mm-hmm. our customers that play in there. These larger companies like AT&T and Verizon, they're not looking forward to spending more CapEx, so they limit how much they spend on this 5G deployment. So while it's interesting and there's some content growth and we are players in that, we also tend to be a little cautious on that, and where we focus more of our resources is on the industrial automotive space, because we think the growth there is sustainable for years, if not decades.
That's sort of the bird in the hand theory, I guess, which makes a lot of sense of your corporation. So tell me about, over 80% of your revenues are from outside of the U.S. If I hear you cautious about the turnaround for your business anyway, is that's got to be more of a commentary on global economics rather than domestic exclusively?
Yeah, it's both. So it's correct that 80-some percent of our revenue comes from outside of the United States, so it's exports. But that goes to factories in China, in various places around the world, and a lot of that ends up back in whether it's the United States or Europe, because the end products end up, are more correlated with worldwide GDP. So the United States and Europe being two of the largest blocks, the other one being China, right? So ultimately, we, what happens in the U.S. does affect us, of course, and what happens in Europe, and our revenues are ultimately tied to the world economy.
So the last thing I got to talk to you about, everybody's very excited. The announcement came recently that you're going to spend close to $3 billion in Richardson and bring close to 500 new jobs. How soon do the jobs come, and what are you going to do in that plant out there?
Yeah, so we recently announced that we selected Richardson as the site for our next 300-millimeter factory. 300-millimeter analog, that's the most advanced factory in the world. We already have two of them, so this would be our third factory. And it'll be co-located with one of those existing factories. We'll probably build the building itself in the next few years. That's $600 to $700 million of the $3 to $4 billion that you quoted earlier. And then the rest of the investment will come over many years, because that investment happens as you put equipment inside the factory, and that equipment is very expensive. That's why, it's only $600 million for the building, and it's $2.5 to $3 billion for the equipment. And then the jobs will come as we equip the factory. And these are good jobs, right? These are high-end manufacturing jobs that help us enable us to build our products.
Is there any fear that you're going to have trouble finding people to fill those jobs? Are there enough, STEM graduates out there for you?
It's a good question. We're in the big scheme of things, it's something that we are working with consortia and with industry and with local people, and the Texas Instruments Foundation supports STEM initiatives various places in Dallas because having more STEM graduates, it's a good thing. Also, from an immigration standpoint, having high-skill immigration available in the United States, in Texas in particular, is a good thing for the country and for the companies here. But in the short term, there's not a – I wouldn't say that is an issue that's gonna hold us back. But in the big scheme of things, whether it's a factory or R&D jobs, which are even higher paying jobs, having the population in Texas and in the U.S. With STEM skills, and also the high skill immigration is a very important aspect to continue to power the United States economy.
Well, the nice thing is you're right next to the University of Texas in Dallas, and maybe you can just grow your own. Rafael Lazzardi, Chief Financial Officer for Texas Instruments. It's always good to have you with us, sir.
Thank you very much.
Thanks. I'm David Johnson. News Radio 1080 KRLD.